910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. It's day two of the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. President Biden, the keynote speaker last night, backing his Vice President Kamala Harris. Outside the convention, protests taking place. ABC's Matt Gutman is there.
Chicago police bracing for another round of protests.
Come on, let's go!
After dozens breached the outer perimeter of the DNC late Monday, they'd gathered earlier, thousands of them, to condemn the Biden-Harris administration's handling of the Israel-Gaza conflict, the through line of the dozens of protest actions planned here this week.
A final report is out on last October's shooting rampage in Lewiston, Maine, finding that missed warning signs were there before gunman Robert Card killed 18 people, including the Army Reservist's superiors, failing to share information with local authorities about Card's aggressive behavior. Fewer Americans were born last year. The number of births in the U.S. dropping 2%. The CDC shows just under 3.6 million babies were born in 2023. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Chicago is sharing part of the political spotlight with Southeast Wisconsin today. Vice President Kamala Harris and running mate Tim Walz will be 90 minutes away, headlining a rally at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee tonight. Earlier in the day, Republican running mate J.D. Vance campaigns in Kenosha. Young voters say they're energized now that Harris is at the top of the Democratic ticket. They say appealing to young voters also requires a personal touch.
Take out your phone, text five friends, text five family members, tell them to go to the polls, help them register to vote. And I think, you know, doing that peer-to-peer organizing is really what's going to help us motivate and mobilize young voters.
18-year-old delegate Henry Paolo is from Maribel. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The nomination process for a competition meant to highlight innovations from Wisconsin is now open. According to a WBAY report, nominations are now being accepted for the 9th annual Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin contest. Nominations can be submitted on the contest website through September 6th. To be eligible for the contest, the nominated product must be manufactured in a Wisconsin-based facility. Voting will be open to the public and will feature a bracket-style tournament to name the eventual winner. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation has scheduled a public meeting to discuss the Bong Bridge Improvement Project. According to a press release, DOT officials will host the meeting at the Superior Public Library on Wednesday, August 21st from 5 to 7 p.m. The meeting will cover proposed improvements to the Bong Bridge connecting Superior to Duluth, including concrete repairs, sealing the bridge deck, and replacing light bases and poles. The planned construction work would result in some lane, ramp, and sidewalk closures. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers in St. Louis. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and Cardinals open up a three-game series tonight at Busch Stadium in St. Louis. Milwaukee's Frankie Montas against the Cardinals right-hander Eric Fetty. The Brewers with an 11-game lead ahead of the Cardinals in the division, coming off that sweep of the Cleveland Guardians. The Cards losing to the Dodgers Sunday 2-1. NFL, Packers back at practice after losing in Denver 27-2. Quarterback Sean Clifford on what he could have done differently in the game.
It's tough to say just now, Broadly, speeding it up a little bit. I thought that there were some plays to be made where my eyes were just late. When you're playing guys like Pat Surtain and, you know, the Broncos once, you just can't be late. And if you are, it's going to either, you know, result in an incompletion or interception. So I thought that was, you know, when we had plays and we made plays, it was on time.
That's Packers backup quarterback Sean Clifford. They face the Ravens Thursday in a joint practice. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
A gorgeous day today with a high pressure system controlling our weather, giving us sunny skies and cooler temperatures with highs scraping the low 70s. Patchy fog is possible overnight as we fall crisp to the upper 40s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 66 degrees.
Matt Nair on air.
I trust Tim Walz to blank.
One from Luke Mathers that says, Tim Walz seems like the neighbor who knew that you were going to be out of town that weekend, so he mowed your lawn while you were gone so you didn't have to do it when you got back.
Keith from Middleton.
I was just going to say, I trust Tim Walz to watch my 3 and 5 year old grandchildren.
I trust Tim Walz to escort me home to get away from the creep at the bar.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Who is the toughest billionaire? I'm pretty sure I could take Warren Buffett. He's like 94. Elon Musk is the richest guy in the world. He's got like 200 billion bucks. Then Jeff Bezos.
I don't know how Jeff would fight.
What about Mark Zuckerberg?
No, that guy.
I'll say Bill Gates. He would probably take a dive.
Isn't Michael Jordan a billionaire now?
Okay, I would take Michael Jordan.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
The next Nightlight is only available on Facebook, X, and YouTube. I discuss America's favorite movie snack with popcorn guru Chris Anderson. And award-winning director Justin Superstar joins me to talk about his new film.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Live on location, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh here live on location, as Terry Barr so accurately said, at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. We are back here at the United Center. Glad to be with you for day two. Going to be a great show. Glad to have you along. Mr. Zommers is moving to the evening tonight to help out with some more things on the evening side. So the wonderful, the talented Sam Davison is back home at the worldwide headquarters high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. Sam, thanks for helping us out today. How the heck are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Well, it's always fantastic to see you. It's always happy to have you along. We are fantastic here. I have Trygve Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, with me here at the desk once again. Trygve, we are into day two. We survived night one.
We did survive night one, Todd. That is true.
Here's what happened. We kind of saw some of the speeches tape delayed, if you will. So what happened was we left here, and then we ended up doing a little shopping for Trygve because he needed some new clothes. And Trygve took me along. He's his personal shopper to Macy's downtown. And it was fantastic, let me tell you. You're going to look spectacular.
To have you to pick out my stuff because my wife said you need to find somebody to help you.
what she said was you either need to find a woman or a gay man, so here I am.
That is true. That is what she said. Yes. And honestly, if I came home wearing that outfit, she'd be like, there's no way you picked that out yourself. So I just admitted. Yes. I got invited to a fancy event, and I did not. I needed some fancier clothes.
Nice.
You helped me out a lot.
They're going to look fantastic.
To get back in here, we'd have had to go back through security. Right. So we decided to take it in from a place where we could watch.
We
went to a really good restaurant.
A really good steakhouse in Chicago. It was fantastic, and enjoyed a nice meal. And then we went over to the House of Blues, where they had a big band and a
Wisconsin party. It was Wisconsin and Arizona, and yeah. it was an awesome event.
It was.
And we met a bunch of Wisconsin people. Yeah. Todd, some people had a fan moment with Todd.
It's always interesting. Well, we listen.
They're like,
to
you. Oh my God, you're Todd Albaugh.
Guilty as charged.
No one knew me, which I was okay with that.
I love being Trygve's staffer, but it was a great night and taking this all into Chicago. And of course, the big and most important part of the evening, of course, was President Joe Biden's speech last night. And Trygve, did you get to end up seeing it last night?
I did. Yeah. I got back to the hotel because I have a lot of gray in my beard now.
I,
as you know, Unlike you, Todd, I was not able to stay out past 11 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, I split. And then I got back to my hotel and ended up watching Reclips. I would like to highlight one thing. Sure. Steve Kerr, right, the coach of the U.S. Olympic basketball team, gave a great speech. Just fantastic. And the thing about Steve Kerr that most people may not know is Steve Kerr's father, back in the 80s, was the head of a university in Lebanon and was killed by terrorists.
I did not know that.
Yes. Like, he's, he was a really prominent diplomatic guy, and that happened when Steve Kerr was in college. But Steve Kerr gave a great speech. Honestly, if Steve Kerr may have a future in politics if the basketball thing doesn't work out.
He's doing okay in the basketball
and,
right
you
now.
You know, we're right here in the stadium where Steve Kerr was the only guy that Michael Jordan trusted to take the last shot on his team other than Pippen.
Right.
If you watch The Last Dance. So, yeah, Steve Kerr's speech was terrific. Biden's speech, you know, goodbyes are never easy.
Yeah.
But I think Joe Biden gave a good speech.
We're going to play a little bit of the ending. I thought it was a particularly great ending. And he quotes a song we're going to play afterwards. But here from the dais last night here at the United Center was President Joe Biden in his final 2 minutes of that great speech.
Each of us has a part in the American story. For me and my family, there's a song that means a lot to us. It captures the best of who we are as a nation. The song is called American Anthem. There's one verse that stands out, and I can't sing worth a damn, so I'm not going to try. I'll just quote it. The work and prayers of centuries have brought us to this day. What shall our legacy be? What will our children say? Let me know in my heart when my days are through, America, America, I gave my best to you. Career, but I gave my best to you. For 50 years, like many of you, I've given my heart and soul to our nation. And I've been blessed a million times in return for the support of the American people. I've either been too young to be in the Senate because I wasn't 30 yet, and too old to stay as president. But I hope you know how grateful I am to all of you. I can honestly say, and I mean this from the bottom, give you my word as a Biden, I can honestly say I'm more optimistic about the future than I was when I was elected as a 29-year-old United States Senator. I mean it. Folks, we just have to remember who we are. We're the United States of America. And there's nothing we cannot do when we do it together. God bless you all, and may God protect our troops.
President Joe Biden from last night on the dais at the Democratic National Convention. Trigvi, like you say, goodbyes are never tough, but I thought it was noteworthy that he just said it out there. He finally said it. Look, too old to stay and be president.
Yeah.
I give him credit for that, and he left it all out on the field. He's still got some time left, still doing some great things, but here's a guy who dedicated his entire life to public service.
Yeah, and I mean, in spite of what people on the right are trying to do, I don't get the sense that Democrats or even average Americans, like we were talking to when we were out touring the state, and we were saying people are concerned about Biden. It wasn't that they didn't respect Joe Biden. It wasn't that Democrats don't love Joe Biden. It was just simply one of those things where, you know, it gets used a lot. It was like having to say to dad, it's time to give up the keys.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, having gone through that in my own life, like, it's pretty clear both sides have come to a good place in that.
Yeah.
They went through, it was a challenge, they got through it, and there was love in that arena last night. And the other thing is, quite honestly, Todd, when I watched the speeches last night, and when I went back and sort of relooked, one of the things that strikes me is you had Democrats chanting USA, USA.
Bingo.
You had Democrats talking about a love of country and about things like standing up to Russian and aggression. And compare that to what we saw in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I mean, what a clown show. There was no Hulk Hogan. And you can't compare the speech that Steve Kerr gave, who you know, is not a politician. He's just a proud American wanting to give a speech, some of the other speeches that were given, to the clown show, the Trump show that you saw, that it was basically a clown show in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. We were talking about this with Matt Nair on Air, Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach this morning. I said the same thing. That when you and I were coming up in Republican politics, it was kind of the, well, Republicans are the ones that chant USA and love the country, love the flag. There was this narrative that Republicans love the country and patriotism more than Democrats. That's been completely flipped. That's
100%.
Been completely flipped.
100%.
And you had Thank You Joe signs and USA signs and chants of USA, like you say, love of country and love of someone who puts country before self.
Right. And, you know, I saw that that Ben Winkler was on Jane's show right after we were on yesterday, right? Same thing on a state level. Yeah. Optimistic message about Wisconsin. And compare that to what you get from Republicans, right, who were talking.
Right.
It wasn't like your interview when you interviewed Glenn Grossman was bad, but it was just all this, like, you know, sucking on lemons and eating grapefruit. And, right, when we came up, you know, it was Tommy Thompson traveling around the state. Harley's roar, Eagles soar, Packers score.
Yeah.
Right? Optimism. And honestly, the Packers didn't score that much when Tommy was first governor. But then if you talk to Tommy, he'd take credit for the fact that eventually they did.
He probably would. I'm not sure this will get the whole clip in, Sam. Let's do it. This is the song that the president was talking about last night by Gene Sheet and the West Point Band called American Anthem. Let's listen to it a little bit, Sam.
Let them say of me, I was one who believed in sharing the blessings I've received. Let me know in my heart when my days are through. America, America, I gave my best to you. For those who think they have nothing to share, who fear in their hearts there is no hero there, know each quiet act of dignity is that which fortifies the soul of a nation that never dies. Let them say of
the song last night. Bring it down just a little bit. We can keep the song going right to the break, Sam, on the background. Trigby, this is a song of patriotism sung by West Point soldiers.
Right.
Gives you goosebumps.
Yeah.
It's talking about servants, veterans, America, unity.
Right.
That is the theme of this convention. That's Kamala Harris. That's Joe Biden. That's Tim Walz. That's America.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing I'm struck by, Todd. Oops,
on the other side. Oh. Todd Allbull Show, live with DNC in Chicago. Back after this. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Democratic National Convention live on location at the United Center in Chicago. 20 minutes past the hour of 12 noon from Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, Green Bay to the old Mississippi River and all points in between. Glad you're along with us on a Tuesday. Trigvi Olsen here at the table with me at the Democratic National Convention. Before we go back to the studio, we've got Luke Mather standing by. Just want to let you finish up on that thought on that song, that patriotic song by the American Anthem, which I think the reason Biden last night talked about it is, you know, his son Beau passed away after serving, that the Biden family has this deep connection. I mean, he and lots of presidents, you know, end their speeches with God bless America. Biden always ends it with may God protect our troops.
Yeah. I mean, that element of service is clearly very, very important to him. You know, and back when he was in the U.S. Senate and I used to bring over people from places like Belarus and around the world who were fighting for democracy, Biden was always one of the U.S. senators, along with McCain, that I could count on meeting personally with them. Democracy, what America represents, has always been important to Joe Biden. And I think in my limited exposure with him as a, you know, human being to human being in the same room, he's a decent person. But I think beyond that, one of the things that has also struck me being here versus being in Milwaukee is, and just talking to people, that this convention looks a lot more like America in 2024 than the Republican. And what I mean that, not just demographically, but generationally. And quite frankly, there's far more diversity of conversation about what are the best paths. At the Republican convention in Milwaukee, you got the feeling that they wouldn't play a song like that. They would just hug into the whole Lee Greenwood, it's all about me, rather than it's all about country.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, here I'm seeing a whole diverse set of people having real conversations about what, and you saw that on the stage last night, about what America can be and what America can become.
Let's bring Luke Mathers in. It is Tuesday, which means it's Tuesday Tangents with Lukester. Luke, thanks for being flexible today and also in your time as well. No, I'm not sure what that means, but you know, he's a flexible guy, Luke Mathers
is.
Luke, we appreciate you being with us. How are things back in the old world headquarters?
At least metaphorically, we don't know if he's flexible. Touch your toes,
I'm
Luke.
I'm not going to try to touch my toes here on the radio, Trigvi. It would not go over well.
Luke, did you have a chance to watch any of the speeches last night? And if so, what was your takeaway?
Yeah, I got a chance to catch up this morning and watching a number of them. I agree with Trigvi. Steve Kerr, if he wanted to, you know, he might have a future there. It was interesting to see him as that member of the Chicago Bulls, the champion-winning Golden State Warriors and gold medalist Team USA come and speak. And I think that it was a very it's interesting to see the very wide, diverse amount of speakers that were there for Monday night, and I anticipate it for Tuesday night and going forward, of who's speaking at this convention, because it is, I think, again, to Trigvi's point, very representative of the entire country. And so excited to see who else will be taking the stage this evening and going forward.
I really love Trigvi's point, and I want to talk about it just briefly. You know, there here in Chicago, you don't hear just this monolithic, well, it's anything that Kamala Harris wants. There is a discussion about policy, about the best path forward, a diversity of ideas. There were large protests yesterday in the street with some of the pro-Palestinian protesters. There was one I'll call it a smaller incident where I think three or four sections of the non-scalable fence was taken down or pushed down. But it was put that part of it was over fairly quickly. There's no reports of any injuries or anything like that. I think the police have been doing a fairly good job of kind
Can
of
I
managing.
I rant about that for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
If you read right-wing social media, you'd think the Bastille was stormed with those protesters tearing down a fence.
Right.
I mean, good
no,
God.
No, Bastille Days was back in Milwaukee back in July. that took place already. We had that festival in Milwaukee.
Seriously.
but Luke, I mean this there is a diversity of ideas here. And I think that to Twigley's point, you know, that represents what America is right now. That it's not a monolith. Your thoughts.
Yes, and it was gonna be it was always gonna be interesting to see how the calls for, oh, we need a more in detailed platform. Where is it? Where's the policy stuff? And like all of those things coming out this week and getting that what you expect of a convention, the process for those things and them being announced and the positions and all of the things that are happening and seeing the diverse input is pretty great from where I am here at headquarters. I'm sure you're getting an even closer upfront view of it down there in Chicago, Todd.
Well, we are, and you know, Trigby and I are a men of a certain age now, in our 50s.
Did you close down the bars? Were you out till 4 a.m. and bar closed?
I left at 11 o'clock. Todd stayed. I was done.
I did outlast Trigby, which I was kind of surprised of myself. Ran into our old friend and colleague, Kristen Bry, and you know, we had a couple of drinks together and at this House of Blues thing. So I stayed out to about 12:06, and then I got my Uber back to my hotel.
He refuses to admit that Kristen clearly was still going.
Yes, she was. She was. She absolutely was. But you're a younger person, you know, just having turned 30 here.
Yeah, Luke would have been leaving long after us.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. But about 3 minutes, Luke. But I mean, what does this say? Your friends, you're just your friends, your contemporaries. You talk about. I mean, are they as excited with this with Kamala Harris now at the top of the ticket? Is this transferring into people you actually know?
Yeah. I was a little surprised at the buzz because, you know, before the announcement that President Biden was no longer going to seek the nomination, there was a lot of back and forth about what would happen. Like, would it become a brokered convention? Would VP Harris become the presumptive nominee? There was no way to tell. And it was kind of interesting how immediately after the decision and the coalescing of the Democratic Party around Vice President Harris to be the Democratic nominee was shocking. And I have friends that were not very political, but they know that I'm in politics or they kind of pay attention to some of the things where they're just like, just a deep exhale, kind of a breath of fresh air where they're like, oh, this is like, I don't know a whole lot about her, but everything I'm seeing so far is like I have no complaints. And so that I do have other friends that are still concerned about like aspects of what she touched on in North Carolina last Friday when it comes to housing as a major concern, like what are our elected officials doing for me kind of vibe. And some folks are still concerned about the Democratic Party's stance on Israel and Gaza. And so there's still some of those natural things that people are trying to figure out where she stands on them. But generally speaking, Todd, the folks that are of my age that I talk to or they talk to me about these things, fairly excited about the fact that there's kind of a younger option to vote for now. Come November.
Minute left, Lukester. We don't have a lot of time for grinding the gears, but does it grind your gears that J.D. Vance now has moved on from single childless people like me, from cat ladies, and now is attacking dog owners? You have two. Doesn't that kind of grind your gears a little bit?
I'm going to have to go do some research because I missed the dog attacks that J.D. Vance is having.
Did you see that?
No.
No, he's after dogs, and apparently not just Christy Gnomes. So Why do you gotta bring cricket into this? Or the ones that RFK has eaten on a stick at the fair.
That's if he doesn't bring in Christy Gnome as a consultant.
All right, Lukester. Well, we gotta let you go. We have to make way for our fantastic lieutenant governor, and thanks for helping us set this get up. We appreciate you, my friend.
Always a pleasure, Todd.
More Tuesday's Answers at Luke next week. Right now, we'll come back at the lieutenant governor. We're live from Chicago, the DNC of the All Balls Show on the Civic Media Ready Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Pro Farmer Tour is back in action this year, taking a look at the crop conditions across the country. I'm Ben Jarb with the Midwest Farm Report, and John Heinberg, a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing in West Bend, says to take the numbers with a grain of salt, and he also gives us advice on how to best decipher the information.
Pro Farmer just kind of dominates the media side of things there, but they put out their Ohio results, South Dakota results yesterday. You know, and the biggest thing when we talk about Pro Farmer, make sure we're thinking about what we use the numbers for. They're not a USDA validator or, you know, proving what the USDA is putting out there for those August numbers. The best way to take the numbers is to kind of compare it to the previous year or the year before that, and then you kind of see the trend, at least where the crop is going for both corn and soybeans.
John Heinberg explaining the best way to look at the numbers put out by the Pro Farmer Tour. And I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and your midday markets are coming up right after this.
Just like some farm projects, they start out small, but they become gigantic. Bobcat Plus can relate. Bobcat Plus, Wisconsin's largest Bobcat dealer, has been in the family since 1991. They started out as one small dealer and now have grown to six locations: Butler, De Pere, Appleton, Eau Claire, Osseo, and their newest location, Kenosha. They offer new and used Bobcat equipment, parts and service, and rentals at every location to help your ag operation. Visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat, one tough animal.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Monarch Media Design. Serving Madison since 2000, Monarch specializes in vehicle wraps and graphics. The experts at Monarch can do everything from vinyl graphics to full trailer wraps. Be sure to keep up with Pam and her travels at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook at Midwest Farm Report, on Instagram at MWF Report, or by downloading the Midwest Farm Report app.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarb with the Midwest Farm Report. And remember to stay up to date with us on all things agriculture by downloading our app, The Farm. You can find it on your app store or go to our website at thefarmwi.com. Now for your midday markets from Chicago. September corn contracts are trading at 376 and a quarter, down 1¾. December corn contracts are trading at 398 and a half, also down 1¾. September soybeans are trading at 957, up 3/4. November soybeans are trading at 975 and 3/4, down 1/4. September wheat is trading at 534 and 3/4, up 6¾. Class 3 milk contracts for September are trading at 2245 a hundredweight, up 15 cents. And Class 3 milk contracts for October are trading at 2263 a hundredweight, up 18 cents. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A gorgeous day today with a high-pressure system controlling our weather, giving us sunny skies and cooler temperatures with highs scraping the low 70s. Patchy fog is possible overnight as we fall crisp to the upper 40s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 66 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Who is the toughest billionaire? I'm pretty sure I could take Warren Buffett. He's like 94. Elon Musk is the richest guy in the world. He's got like 200 billion bucks. Then Jeff Bezos.
I don't know how Jeff would fight.
What about Mark Zuckerberg?
No, that guy.
I'll say Bill Gates. He would probably take a dive.
Isn't Michael Jordan a billionaire now?
Okay, I would take Michael Jordan.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning from Chicago, we'll wrap up day two of the Democratic National Convention and the warm reminiscence during Barack Obama's comments.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location at the Democratic National Convention in the United Center on a beautiful day here next to Lake Michigan. Well, not quite next to Lake Michigan, but not too far away here from downtown in the United Center, where, of course, the Chicago Bulls play. We've been talking a lot of sports stars here with our co-host this week, Mr. Trigvi Olsen. Like myself, a former Republican and now the senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Trigvi, we've been talking about a lot of sports stars, and pleased to have at the desk here at the United Center what I would call a rising star in the Democratic Party. She is Sarah Rodriguez, the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Wisconsin. Lieutenant Governor, thanks for giving us time here.
Todd, don't caveat it with just the Democratic Party. She's a rising star in the state of Wisconsin.
There you
period.
Go. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate it.
I'm so happy to have you here, Lieutenant Governor. How long, when did you get in, and how long have you been here? What have you been doing since you've been here?
So we got in Monday early morning, and that was a full day. Absolutely a full day. So I was able to speak on the floor of that enormous convention hall, and it was so much fun, so electric. I mean, the energy was fantastic to be able to talk to folks and to be able to represent Wisconsin. And then, you know, get to listen to all the rest of the speeches in the evening, get to listen to President Biden at the end of the night. It was absolutely amazing.
It was an electric day. That's what Trigvi and I have been talking to. I mean, he's worked on a lot of campaigns from John McCain and others have been at national conventions. But we were talking about Trigvi. I mean, the energy here, just in these first 24 hours, it's unique.
Yeah, I think that. And then, you know, I would like to, one of the things that struck me, there's a lot of optimism here. And I was in Milwaukee, you know, where my former party was meeting. And you know, back in the day when I worked for Tommy Thompson and McCallum, we used to make hay that Democrats sucked on lemons and ate grapefruit all day long. And that was what Milwaukee was like. And this looks like America. And it's like the people in Wisconsin where I grew up in River Falls, all my lifelong buddies. Mm-hmm. They're optimistic about America now with Kamala Harris at the top of the ticket. They just are.
I absolutely agree. And, you know, I live in Waukesha County. So that's not exactly a super blue area within the state of Wisconsin. No. So I get to talk to people from all across the political spectrum, and I have neighbors, I have friends. My brother sometimes votes Republican. Sure. I didn't ask him if he voted for me because I want to have him over for Thanksgiving. But I will tell you that when I talk to folks, they are excited about this ticket. They are, particularly the women in suburban areas outside of Milwaukee. When I speak to them, they are looking at voting for a Harris-Walz ticket, even if they haven't voted for Democrats before in the past. Yeah. And it is because it's that forward-looking. It's that different vision that we have for the two different parties. You look at Trump, and it's anger, and it's these bizarre stories that he's telling. And then you look at Kamala Harris and you look at Tim Walz and you can see the joy. Yeah. You can see the excitement. You can see their vision for the future. It's not about retribution. It's not about going back. It's about where we are going to go as a nation and where we are going to go as a state, personally, from Wisconsin.
Right. Tell us a little bit about your background for those that might not know, Lieutenant Governor. You don't know this, I'm sure, but listeners of the program do. I grew up in Richland Center, Richland County in southwest Wisconsin. One of my good friends likes to say it's the Richland County Mafia because there's 6 degrees of separation and you'll find a connection to Richland County. Tell us yours.
Oh, I do have it. My mom grew up on a farm between Sugar Grove and Bosstown.
There you go.
Which most people will not know, Sugar Grove or Bosstown, but it is in Richland County, and because it is so small that she went to a one-room schoolhouse through eighth grade. Yeah, and then when my grandparents sold the farm, they moved to the big city of West Salem, if you know what that is.
Yes. Oh,
so you look it
outside
up.
Outside of La Crosse.
100%. It's not very big. It's gotten bigger, though. It has.
It's a suburb of La Crosse.
Now it is, but it was not at the time. But we, you know, we used to go out there all the time, and my mother would tell me fond memories of growing up on the farm and doing those types of things. So, yeah.
Well, what I love about your background, Lieutenant Governor, is the fact that you have that rural farm background in southwest Wisconsin, but you live now in Waukesha. you can relate to all people of the state. And Trigby and I have been spending the summer and the spring, you know, going from everywhere from River Falls to Chippewa Falls.
What makes Wisconsin great tour.
Yeah. We're all over, you know, Wisconsin Dells and New Glarus. And it's this optimism that you were talking about that I think you and Governor Evers have done in the state of Wisconsin and what Governor Walz and Vice President Harris are doing here.
Yeah, I agree. And I even have a uncle who's a farmer in St. Croix Falls. So if you ever go there.
Oh, that's right up in my part of the
that's
state.
That's right in your part of the state. And he calls himself a gentleman farmer now because he doesn't have any more cows. He's in his 70s, so he's gotten rid of the cows. But so it is. It is. And I've been able to visit every single county within Wisconsin, and I have made it my goal to be able to do that every year that I'm lieutenant governor. Because I do think it's important. I think it's important to go out and talk to people where they are, where they live. Talk to them about what they're seeing in their community. What kind of problems are they having? What do they see as solutions? What do they want the Wisconsin government to do? And talking to people as well who may not agree with me. Mm. And that is one of my favorite things to do when I was in the assembly. I got to be honest, because I flipped a district, right, from red to blue. And so it was about a 50-50 district. So there were people who did not vote for me. But if they would call in and they would talk to me about either some legislation that was out there or a decision I had made on a vote, I called every single one of them back, if I could.
Yeah.
I tried to call every single one of them back. And if I got a hold of them, I would at least have a conversation to say, hey, tell me, you know, where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. Let me hear, you know, what your issues are. And then I would say, well, here's how I'm making my decision about this particular legislation. And at the end of the day, 99% of the time, we might not have agreed on that vote that I took, but we could have a conversation about it. And that's where we need to get to within politics, is to continue to have that hope that we can have those conversations. Because you and I know within our neighborhoods, we are having those conversations. So we should hold our politicians to that same standard.
I mean, it's the same thing with Trigby and I hear about all across Wisconsin. It's just find ways to get along. We don't always have to agree on everything, but find ways to get along to move Wisconsin forward. Yes, Trigby?
No, I mean, I think that's spot on. I've said to a lot of people, and I've known them both for a while, if I could convince my wife to move back to Wisconsin, I'd move back in a heartbeat. And if I had Tony Evers as my neighbor on the left and Robin Voss as my neighbor on the right, at least I'd know that if my mom got sick, they'd both be bringing casseroles, right? Because it's not like they're bad people. The bottom line is people in Wisconsin want people to work together.
They do.
They just do. And to be honest, like, and it pains me because, for example, with Robin, I've known Robin for a long time, but, you know, when you have people like Scott Walker who really don't want to work with anybody because they just want to be somebody, it makes it really hard. And I would think that is a hard thing for you.
Yeah, it can be frustrating.
Because you can't have a deal with people who don't want to make a deal with you.
Right. And when we have the old maps, which were very, very gerrymandered, and if people don't understand how Wisconsin works, is the governor and I won by about 3 percentage points, which is, it's a joke, it's a landslide in Wisconsin, 3 percentage points, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So Democratic governor, Democratic lieutenant governor, and yet there was a supermajority of Republicans in the Senate, the state Senate, and almost a supermajority in the state assembly, short just by 2 seats in the state assembly. That doesn't make any logical sense to people. That is not representative of the people of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And so that is why when there was a Supreme Court position that came available, talking about those types of gerrymandered maps and what looks like what should be fair and just within the political atmosphere and the political world, you want to have a map that reflects the people of Wisconsin. Mm. And so we have new maps that are coming up. This November election, we're going to be electing almost an entirely new legislature. Mm. That's very exciting to me. And we're going to have a whole lot more purple districts like my own.
Yeah.
And what people don't understand about gerrymandering, it's not just about the power. It's about when you have deep red districts and deep blue districts, there is a disincentive to work together.
Right.
Because the only thing you're afraid of is somebody a primary on your right or a primary on your left. You are not afraid of losing your seat to the other party.
Yeah.
So it's a disincentive to work together. So now that we have more, many more purple districts, regardless of who wins them, I hope it's Democrats because I want to be able to work with them. But regardless of who wins them, they're going to have an incentive to work across the aisle to be able to keep their seats in the future.
We're talking to Lieutenant Governor of the state of Wisconsin, the great state of Wisconsin, Sarah Rodriguez, here at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Trigby Olson, Senior Advisor at Lincoln Project, along with me. Lieutenant Governor, I want to talk about this because I hear from your staff you're going to stop over at Telemundo next.
Yes.
And I love this. Because one of the big immigration, or one of the big issues nationally, and there, we've seen this at the 8th Congressional District. I mean, you'd think that Green Bay was on the border of Mexico by some of these ads that the Trump people are running up there.
I know.
But talk about this, because it's uniquely, I've spent a lot of time in Central America. My godsons are half Latino, mm-hmm. half Salvadoran. Talk to you about this personal issue and your views on this.
So my husband is from Mexico, and so he immigrated here, married me. He has his citizenship now, and we have two kids. They're 15 and 17. A daughter is 15, and a son who's 17. And so the type of rhetoric around immigration is very personal to me. And it's actually one of the reasons why I ran for office in the first place, or why I got involved in politics. So in 2016, my son, maybe was about 10 at the time, 9 or 10, was, you know, in the kitchen talking to me, really concerned, and says, "What if Trump wins?" And I said, "You know, why are you worried about this, buddy? What's going on?" And he goes, "Well, I know he doesn't like people who look like me, or Daddy,
wow.
or Sophia, his sister."
Yeah.
He goes, "Is he gonna make us go back to Mexico? Maybe he'll let you stay, Mommy." And it just broke my heart.
Yeah.
And then I had to wake my child up after that election and tell him that he was safe and that he belonged here, that this was his country, and that this he should never let anybody tell him that he did not belong. But I didn't feel like I had done enough. I had smaller kids, you know, I'm busy with school, I'm working full time. I didn't knock on the doors.
Yeah.
I didn't make the phone calls. I didn't do enough because I figured other people were doing it for me. And I decided, you know what? I'm never gonna feel that way again. So after that 2016 election, I went to my first Waukesha County Democratic Party meeting, and I just started getting involved. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? Tell me what I'm supposed to do. I don't want to feel this way again. And so that's when I started getting involved, getting more involved in politics. And then in 2020, the seat in the assembly was something that, you know, I figured was flippable living where I lived. And was able to, you know, flip that district and then ran for lieutenant governor after that, mm-hmm. because it is important.
Yeah.
And that is my charge to anybody who's listening, is you don't want to feel at the end of the day that you had not done enough to make sure that you want to live in the country that is going to be supportive to your kids, it's going to be supportive to your community. And I don't see that under a Trump presidency.
Yeah.
I do see that under a Harris-Walz administration.
We talked about this, that people fear that which they do not understand.
Right.
And I think there's so many folks across Wisconsin that grew up in places like I did at Richland Center. There was one black family in my high school growing mm-hmm. up. But once you break down those barriers and you find out, you know what, we're all just people.
Right.
And that takes the fear away. I wish we had more. I'd love to have you come back and talk about this because it's so important to me and I know it's important mm-hmm. to you. We got about 2 minutes left here, Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez. You have a healthcare background.
Yes.
I'll give you the floor for 2 minutes. You want to talk about healthcare? What's your message you want to get out here for the people of Wisconsin listening?
Well, I am a nurse. I do have a healthcare background, worked in public health for my entire career. And we do need to talk about healthcare because, you know, Harris-Walz is the only, they are the only candidates that are going to protect the right of a woman to choose. Mm. That is what is going to happen. If you look at Project 2025, and if you look at that plan, and let's be real, that is Trump's plan, Project 2025, mm-hmm. they are looking to be able to ban abortion nationwide, mm-hmm. many times without exceptions for rape or incest. That is not in line with what the vast majority of Wisconsinites want, mm-hmm. truly, or Americans want,
yeah.
right? And you've seen that in state after state after state when they put it on, you know, they put it on the ballot. People are voting to make sure that women get to decide what they are going to do with their bodies. They do not need the perspectives of any politicians in that decision. Yeah. And so this is still going to be on the line this November. Abortion is going to be a topic. It's going to be important.
Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, this great state of Wisconsin, you really are a rock star. People that know me, I mean, I say this privately. You need to be out around this state more because you are the star of one of the stars of Wisconsin. Really, thank you for everything you do.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Back with more on the on location from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago is the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Our southern border is in chaos, with drugs and criminals flowing into our country. But sanctuary cities protect illegal immigrants who commit crimes from being deported. Like an illegal immigrant arrested for battery in Madison. He should have been deported. Instead, he was released back into the community and went on to assault several more women, including a 13-year-old girl. Senator Tammy Baldwin voted 9 times to support federal funding for sanctuary cities that refuse to cooperate with immigration officials and release these dangerous criminals back onto our streets. And Senator Baldwin voted for amnesty for 11 million illegals, including convicted criminals. Call Senator Baldwin, 608-264-5338. Urge her to support S-1068, the Stop Dangerous Sanctuary Cities Act. Stop protecting illegal immigrants and start protecting Wisconsin. Paid for by One Nation, www.onenationamerica.org.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location from the home of Michael Jordan, the house that Jordan built at the United Center here, home of the Bulls, Chicago Bulls. Maybe not quite as spectacular anymore, but they used to be Drigby.
The Chicago Bulls?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Listen, the Chicago Bulls of Michael Jordan and Steve Kerr, man. This is the thing about I couldn't hit a jump shot. It proved my life depended on it. But after seeing Steve Kerr's speech last night, you want to know what really went through my mind? I'd go out and try and hit
for him, right?
For him, like that guy. I get why he's coaching the Olympic team and won some NBA titles. Man, that guy's inspiring.
And so is
the lieutenant governor.
Talk about inspire. I was just going to say.
We finally found somebody who will go out and cheerlead for the state.
That's exactly it. I've been saying this. I've been saying this in private. I've been saying this in public.
Why are the governor's people not having her? I know that
Maggie Gow and Britt Cutaback and some of these people at the governor's office, listen, get that woman out on the stump every day.
And have her challenge Scott Walker to the debate.
Yeah.
Too,
I mean, there are few people, Trigby, you know this. We've been in politics a long time, you longer than I. Few people, inspire me. When you just talk to them one-on-one, there are certain individuals in politics that just have magic to them. Yeah. Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez is one of those people.
You know, this is, I'm just thinking of this as we're sitting here talking.
Yeah.
And I want to say thank you, Todd, for having me on once a week. Because through that, as I say to you, it's the best hour professionally that I have because I get to talk about Wisconsin stuff, which of course I love. But here's the other thing that has jumped out at me as we've gone through this sort of journey since the start of your show. When I meet a lot of Republican candidates and I meet a lot of Democratic candidates. It is the ones who are inspirational, like the lieutenant governor, the ones like Dr. Lyerly. People that are people from other walks of life who have decided that change has to happen and they need to go into politics. That used to be the Republican Party. That is now the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
The Republican Party is now filled with people like Weird Weed and Derek Van Odwan and Scott Walker, who clearly have wanted to be politicians their entire life. It's all they've aspired to be. That is what Democrats used to be. That is what people like you and I used to chip on Democrats about. Mm-hmm. Because we were the party where the Dale Schultzes and the Jim Harsdorfs were people who said, I'm going to run for a while. I have a successful farms or I have a successful business.
Scott Klug.
Right. And I'm gone.
Yeah. Public service.
Steve Gunnarsson left at 40 years old. That used to be the Republican Party. That is not what the Republican Party is now. Republican Party is a bunch of narcissistic, most of them. I don't want to speak for all of them, but people who believe that they're irreplaceable. And as Ron Wolf, the great GM of the Packers, used to say, graveyards are filled with people who think they were irreplaceable. Whereas this is what a nurse, for God's sakes, who says, had never been involved in politics.
Right. I mean, she's a nurse, she's a mom, she's a partner, she grew up in a rural background, she lives in Waukesha, she identifies with everybody across 100%. The state, cheerleads, she loves Wisconsin, and she talks positively about working with her neighbor that might not always agree with her.
Right. Compare that to somebody like, who else is from Waukesha? Scott Walker.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Think about that. That guy was running his entire time. He came up with some cheesy brown bag thing, lunch thing, and that he buys his clothes at Kohl's. We didn't ask her where she buys her clothes. She might buy her clothes at Kohl's, too. Like, as if he's the only one who buys his clothes at Kohl's. And honestly, this is a question for you. If Scott Walker had somehow prevailed in what year did he lose? He lost. Yeah. Yes, badly, actually.
6 years ago?
Yeah, well, okay. Do you think if he hadn't lost, he wouldn't still be hanging around? I mean, look at how much he's groveling to Trump because he thinks he's going to get some appointment, right? Think about the job he has. The contrast between the two parties, it just is becoming abundantly clear as I'm here. And it makes, on some level, it makes me sad as somebody who still considers themselves a conservative. But that is the truth.
Yeah, it is the truth.
It is the party where people who don't want to be for a politician.
And for me, it excites me because, to Luke's point earlier, younger people, you know, than us, all right, let's just admit it, we're not spring chickens anymore, but younger people are excited by people like Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez. They're excited about people like Kamala Harris. There is an engagement, and that makes me happy that people, young people, want to be engaged again, because you and I were mentored and excited by people in our youth to become involved in politics, and that's what this country needs. It needs to have representative leadership and representative democracy to get kids and not kids, but younger people excited.
Yes, 100%. The person that we just met is a person who cares about the state of Wisconsin. The lieutenant governor is somebody who cares about the state of Wisconsin, and whose views are forged by personal experience.
Exactly.
Whereas you have a bunch of other people that, like Weird Weed and Van Odd One, who are just looking to say something provocative so maybe they can get on Fox News, or making up stories, quite honestly, in Van Odd One's case, of being accosted by a Code Pink protester. For God's sakes, you know, when I was doing Rand Paul's campaign, the Code Pink, people were trying to accost Rand Paul. And as we saw when Rand Paul met his neighbor, not the toughest guy in the world. Van Odd One claims to be a Navy SEAL, and he got beat up by a Code Pink protester?
Who didn't even touch him.
Seriously.
I get the contrast here, folks. I mean, that's the thing. We've been here now a day and a half, and this contrast of optimism, of joy, of inclusivity.
Of freedom,
of listening to people who might not always agree with us and working with them. That's just exciting. I'll steal the line. I mean, I don't want to go down the whole Tommy Thompson road. I mean, I don't understand why he can't get this. But he used to say at the end of every speech, Turing will remember, he'll say, "Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that tomorrow will be even better than it is today."
Yeah.
And there was optimism.
We have 15,000 lakes and every one of them has fish in them.
And they were great lines. But
you know who does that now is Walls.
Exactly. Now it's Tim Walls who's doing that stuff. Now it's Sarah Rodriguez who's doing that stuff.
I had never really watched Tim Walls on the speech, and I'm going to on the stump. And I'll tell you, I was kind of shaped by sort of what I saw during the protests during COVID. And I wasn't sure what to think of Tim Walls. Yeah. After watching him now and digging in some, there's a lot of sort of that. Yes, they have different positions on issues, but there's a lot of Tommy Thompson and Tim Walls. They're the same guy. They are guys that you want to sit in a bar and have a beer with. 100%. Although Walls quit drinking. But nevertheless, you want to sit and eat cheese curds and hang out with him. And he'd probably drink a non-alcoholic beer.
And like
beer.
Tammy Baldwin, Walls finishes his beverage. he doesn't leave it.
No,
half on
the, he does not.
All right?
He does not.
855-752.
We haven't even talked about Tammy.
Who is the best campaigner in the state of Wisconsin, but Rodriguez might give her a run for her money someday. 855-752-4842. Back with Hour 2 on location at the United Center. It's the DNC. Stay tuned. It's the Todd Allball Show with Trigby Olson and a cast of thousands on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We'll be right back.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Crude and Dom.
Tune in Tuesday for the Devil's Advocates. We're here in Chicago. The DNC is the occasion. All the political stars will join us at the table. Devil's Advocates, you gotta listen.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.